see the world your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.
God's blessings and welcome to Walking in Faith. We're in the second week of Lent. This week we proclaim, of you my heart has spoken. Seek his face. It is your face, O Lord, that I seek. Hide not your face from me. Our prayer this week, O God, who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. To God the Father, we make a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Counting on his unfailing mercy, we stand before him now with all of our needs. We pray that the Church will stand before the world without stain or blemish, holy and obedient to God's word. We pray for the whole world, that our days may truly become the acceptable time of grace, salvation, and peace. We pray for sinners and the neglectful, that in this season of reconciliation they may return to Christ. We pray that this season of Lent will be a time of deeper conversion. We pray for those who are downhearted or are burdened with difficulties, that they may experience the transfiguring power of God. We pray for the grace this week to keep our eyes on Jesus and truly live as citizens of heaven. Most merciful Father, you did not spare your own Son, but handed him over for us. May we always listen to him and trust that you will always give us what we need. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Archbishop Chaput has written a column for Lent 2019. He said, Lent is a time of examining our consciences, confessing and repenting our sins, and working to change the direction of our lives towards God through prayer, self-sacrifice, and charitable acts to others. All of us, he said, have personal ways of doing that. He said, a friend of his has the habit every Lent of listening to an audio version of Dante Alighieri's 14th century Divine Comedy from start to finish. The comedy, Dante's imagined journey into the pit of hell, Inferno, then up through Purgatorio, to heaven and the beatific vision, Paradiso, is one of the great achievements of Western literature. He said, for busy people distracted by work, bills, and family, though reading is often impossible, listening to it on a CD is a much easier matter. Spoken by the late poet John Ciardi, or performed by an ensemble BBC cast, the comedy comes alive in a powerful and, in the Inferno, hair-raising way. Dante understands the human heart, our capacity for both good and evil, and the consequences of our actions like no other writer. As Dante saw clearly, anyone who imagines that God's love and mercy somehow exclude his justice needs to think again. And Archbishop Chaput said that is why Lent is so important. It is the season in church life that calls us to discipline our appetites, put aside our excuses, and take an honest look at the state of our souls. So John the 23rd, the good Pope John, who convened the Second Vatican Council, liked to describe the church as our mother and teacher. She's always been so, even in those many times when her leaders and people have failed her. And Archbishop Chaput notes Dante has a generous population of clergy and religious, including popes and bishops, in his Inferno. He goes on to say, in that role as a mother, the Church gives us a blueprint for accomplishing God's work of renewal in our hearts and society at large. Catholic teaching argues beautifully for the sanctity of unborn human life, the dignity of the human person, the urgency of economic and social justice, and the meaning of true peace and human development. And as a mother, the Church offers us an examination of conscience that we can apply during Lent to just about every aspect of our lives. And then Archbishop Chaput goes on to list some of those questions in an examination of conscience. He says, do we reverence and defend the dignity of the human person from conception to natural death? Do we really love our enemies? Do we even try? Do we teach our children to have gratitude, to take responsibility for their time, choices, and actions, to feel the sufferings of others, and to understand their role in building up the common good? Do we encourage that by our own good example? Do we preach by our actions the dignity of human labor and the importance of human free will, work, and creativity? Do we live our lives with a clear moral purpose, the purpose of co-creating with God a world shaped by the gospel? Do we promote the nobility of marriage and the integrity of the family? Do we practice justice and mercy in our own social and economic relationships? Do we try to root out the prejudices in our own hearts? And do we encourage justice in our friends, business associates, and leaders? Do we even take an active hand in the public square? Do we demand that our leaders promote the sanctity of the human person? And do we do everything in our power to correct or replace them if they don't? Finally, Archbishop Chaput goes on to note, do we cultivate in ourselves and in our children an appetite for simplicity, humility, and solidarity with others? We live most of our lives in our families and parishes, and that's where our first priorities should always lie. But there's no such thing as merely parochial Catholic. Baptism makes us all members of the global Christian community. And that's why issues like hunger, poverty, economic development, human trafficking, the rights of migrant workers, religious persecution, even when they're happening on the other side of the world, are happening to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so they involve us. He concludes, we are in the world as agents of God's love and joy. We need to live in a way that honors each other and honors the mission of the Church. Because in us and through our actions, both individually and as a community of faith, the outside world will judge the gospel we claim to believe. May God grant all of us a holy and fruitful season of turning our lives back to the Lord. And that is the column by Archbishop Chaput for Lent 2019. Well, coming up this week is the Feast of St. Joseph, and we'll have a short meditation on his life. And we'll also be bringing you an interview on an international group of prayer and fasting. This is a spiritual warfare battle plan that you can partake in, so you want to stay tuned. It'll be coming up right after the break. But first, we want to talk about St. Joseph. His feast day is coming up on Tuesday, March 19th. We recall in the Bible, and this is a solemnity, so it will be a time that we will be using the Gloria, one of the rare times during Lent. And the angel Gabriel, and we recall in the Bible how the angel Gabriel brought Joseph astonishing news. His wife Mary was with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. St. Joseph gave his entire self to serve Jesus and Mary. His character was proven in the repeated difficulties that he had in his life, the journey to Bethlehem, the sojourn into Egypt, the loss and then finding of the child Jesus at the temple in Jerusalem. Joseph and Mary's self-giving love for each other formed the true and original domestic church that protected and nurtured Jesus. Together they formed the model for the Christian family. Having died in the company of Mary and Jesus, Joseph is considered the patron saint of a happy death. The prayer for St. Joseph on the solemnity is, grant we pray, Almighty God, that by Joseph's intercession, your church may constantly watch over the unfolding of the mysteries of human salvation, whose beginnings you entrusted to his faithful care. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And we'll take a quick break and be right back.
St. Joseph was a carpenter and the foster father of Jesus. Not much is known of Joseph's life, except that he was of the house of David and lived in Nazareth, Israel, where today the Church of St. Joseph's Carpentry marks the traditional location of his workshop. Ever wonder why statues and paintings of Joseph depict his staff topped with flowers? The flowered staff is a reminder of how Mary's spouse was chosen. According to legend, when the time came for Mary to be betrothed, the temple priest gathered the walking sticks of all prospective suitors. Miraculously, Joseph's burst into flower. This was a sign that God had chosen Joseph as the earthly spouse and guardian of Our Lady. It is not known when Joseph died, but we do know that he was still living when Jesus was 12 years old. For the first 1,400 years of the church, there was virtually no devotion to St. Joseph. Due to early heresies that denied that Christ was divine, the church fathers found it prudent to downplay the husband of Mary and foster father of Jesus. Around 1400, there was a sudden surge in devotion to St. Joseph, culminating in 1479 when Pope Sixtus IV finally gave Joseph a feast day, March 19th. This increase in attention led to the 1650 founding of the Sisters of St. Joseph, who today number more than 14,000 worldwide, and the elaborate St. Joseph's Day altars, constructed annually around the world and adorned with candles, flowers, statues, and food, all dedicated to this holy carpenter on his feast day. Joseph's profession is undoubtedly why he was chosen to be the patron saint of workers, but his popularity went further. He was declared the patron saint of several countries, including Canada, China, and Mexico. And in 1870, Pope Pius IX gave St. Joseph his highest honor, declaring him universal protector of the Catholic Church. And that's how a simple carpenter became the saint we know today.
Speed.
Joining us right now, welcome back. Joining us right now is Maureen Flynn. She's here to talk about Pray and Fast for America 2019. And you can find that website at prayandfastforamericawithnospaces.org. Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you, and thank you for having us.
Well, we're in a time of prayer and fasting. This is appropriate to be interviewing you during Lent. Talk a little bit about Pray and Fast for America and how you got started.
Okay. Well, for the past 27 years, we have been coordinating with many other groups the International Week of Prayer and Fasting, which really is always 9 days of prayer and fasting throughout our country, throughout our world. And we usually open up the week, the 9 days, at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. And then we go forward for 8 more days to get many of the parishes and the prayer groups to pray and fast like never before for our country, for our culture of life, for marriage and for family, and of course for the church. So that has been going on for many, many years. But as time went on, at the end of 2017, we had just completed the 9 days of prayer and fasting, and there was a team of about 30 of us that got together after and said, what can we do? You know, let's pray, because things seem to be accelerating and we don't know if we can wait until October. Usually the 9 days is held in October for most of the years. There's been 2 times we've held it in September, one being last year, September 29th through October 7th, but generally it's in October. So we ended up praying the Holy Rosary together. And as we were praying and just, you know, asking the Lord, we got inspired with 365 days of masses, prayers, and fasting. So we started talking about that as a group, and we all agreed, you know what, that's what we need. We need a year-long campaign. And so what do we call it? So the idea came, Pray and Fast for America. I said, let's just keep it simple. What about Pray and Fast for America? That's how it came about, and we ended up getting the domain name. And so that's how the Pray and Fast for America 2018 started. We had a very simple website because, you know, we just thought, well, let's just see how people respond. And last year, the response was unbelievable. It was terrific. So we realized we need to update and redesign the website. So we worked with a group who helped us, because really, if people go on prayandfastforamerica.org, you'll see it's been years of all kinds of research on the power of the rosary, the divine mercy, what is fasting about, what are the scriptures about fasting. Then we designed these levels for Pray and Fast for America 2019, we thought, well, there's different levels. Everybody is coming in from different places. What if we designed something where people could sign up? They could sign up to pray the Holy Rosary. They could sign up to adore our Lord. They could sign up to promote, you know, Our Lady of America, which is really important for these times because of really beseeching our Blessed Mother, asking for her intercession to help us become a pure nation and pray for the transformation of our families and our youth.
And Maureen, I just want to interrupt there and talk about this idea that you have on your prayandfastforamerica.org website. People can join any of the 4 branches of this Marian ministry. There's Marian Consecration, the Watchmen, which is Eucharistic Adoration, the Rosarian Knights, and the Torchbearers. Let's talk about some of those. What are the Torchbearers if you sign up for that?
Sure. The Torchbearers. We also have a magazine called Signs and Wonders for Our Times. So we help coordinate the Pray and Fast for America campaign, but we work with many other groups. But because of this recent magazine, we had a whole article about Our Lady of America. We've written about this different times. But she is becoming so important, and many people really, I guess it's the time now to get the word out about Our Lady of America. And the Blessed Mother appeared to a woman named Sister Mary Ephraim, Sister Mildred, and apparently She gave her many series of messages relating to the importance of the Holy Family, the importance of parents raising their children in the faith, the importance of St. Joseph in these times for fatherhood, the importance of purity, that purity was under great attack. And she was asking for the youth, for, you know, a big renewal of the faith amongst the youth. And she asked us to be the torchbearers. For example, she said, this is an exact quote, "My child, I entrust with you this message that you must make known to my children in America. I wish it to be the country dedicated to my purity. The wonders that I will work will be the wonders of the soul. I desire through my children in America to further the cause of faith and purity among peoples and nations." And then she asked, and this is really beautiful, "I wish to gather about me, my tender child, soldiers and valiant bearers of the torch, an army of brave lovers who, as my torch bearers, will rekindle the fire of divine love in the souls of men. Only those who are strong in love can become my soldiers to bear aloft not the sword of destruction, but the sword of fire, the flaming torch of divine charity." So really, she's calling us for holiness. And it has really taken people by storm, the devotion of Our Lady of America. And she's asked that someday she could be brought into the basilica by her bishops and installed there. And she said she will bring America back to its foundations through her intercession, that we will be brought back to our original foundations and to lead the world. So it's really a beautiful devotion. People have caught on to it like huge. So I think the timing is great. And in light of what's happening in the church with the attacks on our clergy, our priesthood, the hierarchy, our laity, everywhere, we see the importance of purity. Right. And what a great call for this. And so people have really latched on to this and are signing up to pray the Holy Rosary. They're increasing the number of mysteries that they're praying, because originally the Holy Rosary was the three mysteries. And then the great St. John Paul II added the fourth mystery. Mm-hmm. But the original rosary always comprised the three mysteries of the Holy Rosary. So people are really grabbing onto that. They're grabbing onto doing some kind of fasting. You know, some are doing intermittent fasting. Some are giving up coffee. Some are not snacking in between meals. Some are doing like two small meals. Yeah, it varies. But they're seeing the importance of prayer and fasting. Because the great St. John Paul II, there's a really awesome quote, and he said, "Jesus himself has shown us by his own example that prayer and fasting are the first and most effective weapons against the forces of evil." And that's what he said in Evangelium Vitae, 1994. So people are realizing, hey, we've got to do the prayer and the fasting. It's like a gun with ammunition. So if you do prayer, it's good. But you don't have the ammunition, which is fasting. And when you combine the two, and this is all scriptural, we put a whole bunch of scriptures about why fast, and if they go on that tab, you'll see the power of fasting in these times and how throughout history, when people in Israel were beseeching the Lord, when they fasted, Nineveh is a good point, and in Jonah, when they prayed and fasted, it was, you know, the Lord granted them a reprieve. And because they repented. So how much more today? This calls for a time of prayer and fasting because of what's happening. And I believe if more and more people come forward and become part of this movement, we will begin to see more wonders and miracles that will be happening.
Okay, so we were talking about the torchbearers, and that if you sign up for that, you're dedicating yourself to our Blessed Mother and commit to abstain from all that attacks the virtue of holy purity. And Maureen was just pointing out how you can do that through prayer and fasting. Now, you also have a group of knights that pray the rosary. Talk a little bit about that group, the Rosarian Knights.
Right. So the rosary is, and I think a lot of Catholics are really becoming familiar with the importance of the rosary. And I know myself over the years in reading about what the Blessed Mother has said in her apparitions, including Fatima. And in our present day, of course, it's still being under investigation, but Cardinal Hoser was asked by Pope Francis to go to Medjugorje. He lives there now, and he's very impressed with what's happening in Medjugorje. And there's a huge, strong call wherever Our Lady goes. She's always asking for the rosary. And I know I am friends with certain exorcist priests, and they've said people don't realize that the rosary is an exorcism prayer. And so when people are praying the Holy Rosary in the proper manner, there's demonic forces around them. They don't want to be there. They'll leave. So as we get people to come together in their families, you know, first starting it together individually to pray the rosary every day, make it a good habit, then getting their family to pray the rosary, getting their parishes to pray the rosary before or after Mass, which is happening in many, many parishes, which is fantastic. Then you have a lot of prayer groups around the country formed around praying the Holy Rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. This is a powerful prayer that Our Lady gave to St. Dominic, and as we say this prayer, it brings great graces down upon our country, and it gives us strength to fight the battles. So people are beginning to recognize why this prayer is very meritorious, very filled with graces, and can change the whole country, can change our nation, it can change our families. And that's what we are needing. So people are signing up to become devotees of the rosary, and many of them are also signing up for Marian consecration.
Well, before we before we talk about the consecration, I just want to point out for the Rosarian Knights, if you join that, there is history that proves the power of the rosary. On your website, you talk about the Battle of Lepanto and the battle in Austria, where there were points at which invasion was going to come into Europe, and it was defied really through the power and the prayers of the rosary. And the other thing that goes with the rosary, you should talk a little bit about the scapular and how important that is. So that's kind of a twofold, Knights of the Rosary and the scapular, and the importance of wearing that scapular.
Yes, the scapular is really important, and there's a book that we're getting beginning into the office to get the word out to people. It's all about the promises of the rosary and how people wore the rosary, were protected during plagues and during, you know, times of war. I mean, some of the miracles are spectacular, but people don't know these things anymore. Mm. So we're hoping to put some more information on the website about that. And we do have up there under the battle plan, under the Rosarian Knights, we have an article we wrote a while back about the Battle of Lepanto and what happened, and what you mentioned, the Battle of Vienna. And then in our own times, what people don't understand, October 13th, 1960, that was a time when in our country there was a lot going on and people were concerned about this, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis and all kinds of things. The rosary is a supernatural atomic weapon in so many ways. So as we learn, pray this in our nation, we will start seeing, I believe, some changes. And we've tried for years to educate, to legislate, and that seems like we're missing something. And I think with the element that we're missing is using the supernatural spiritual weapons that heaven has told us will destroy evil.
Okay, now you want to talk about Marian consecration. That is another. There's four really pieces of the battle plan. You can do one, you can do all four, you can do any mixture of them. But again, we're talking with Maureen Flynn. We've talked about the torchbearers, those who are helping our Blessed Mother bring purity back to America by actively seeking to avoid those things which cause impurity in our culture. We've also talked about the Rosarian Knights and the brown scapular. Now we're talking about Marian consecration, and we'll soon be talking about adoration. But right now, let's talk about Marian consecration.
Sure, and Marian consecration is really key. So I always say to people, if you get into a building and someone says, okay, we have to go up to the 33rd floor, so do you want to take the stairs? Or do you want to take the elevator? Well, most people would say, you know, I think I'm going to take the elevator. It's a quicker way. Well, many people say, what's the quick way to sanctification? And the saints have told us a very quick way of sanctification is consecrating ourselves to our Blessed Mother. And Saint Teresa of Calcutta was a huge proponent of consecration. And in our times, people like Father Michael Gately have really helped people to do this more, because he wrote a book called The 33 Days to Morning Glory, which is a do-it-yourself retreat to prepare yourself to do it. I myself did the consecration to Our Lady back in 93 with my husband, 1993. And it totally changed our lives. And we renew it periodically. And we pray the Marian consecration prayer once a week in a prayer group that we are involved with. But it really, literally, if you give yourself to the Blessed Mother, she will change you. She will, because we're giving our will to say, yes, I want to become holy. I want to become more like Jesus. So she really will take us on another level. And I believe a lot of it has to do with special graces. And I've noticed even with some people I know, the friends that I know who are consecrated to Our Lady, they seem to understand things on a different level. And that's not saying that they're better than anybody, but there are more insights. I think one receives more maybe infused graces. maybe infused knowledge. You know, a lot of saints would get infused knowledge. But I do believe in these times of great darkness that we are in, that the Marian consecration will help us to lead godly lives in our families and in our parishes and in our nation. So that, again, has been very important in these times. And St. Maximilian Kolbe wrote a lot about Marian consecration, and he's one of these great saints. And he said, "Let me be a fit instrument in your immaculate and merciful hands." And then, to what purpose? And he says, "The conversion of the entire world." And he wanted to see raise up a whole army of fighting knights and soldiers who gave themselves over to be instruments in the grace-filled hands of the Immaculata. He wanted to build a militia Immaculata.
And I want to point out, Maureen, too, if you go on the website, we're talking prayandfastforamerica.org, you have such great resources. When you click on if you want to join the Marian consecration, there's at least three videos there that you can look to get more information on it. You also have the PDF of True Devotion to Mary, which was written by St. Louis de Montfort. You can read that online. The Secret of Mary, you can read online. Jesus Living in Mary, Handbook of the Spirituality of St. Louis de Montfort, is also available online by just clicking on the website on Join the Fight Marian consecration. So you have really put at our fingertips everything you need to know. You're not going into this blind. You're not doing it superstitiously. You are really arming yourself with information and then going forward to be part of this battle plan. Now, Maureen, talk about the watchman, the Eucharistic adoration.
All right. Well, the Eucharistic adoration, Mother Teresa said, "What will convert America and save the world?" My answer is prayer. Prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. And I believe she's right on about that. There's a book out called In Sinu Jesu, When Heart Speaks to Heart, the Journal of a Priest at Prayer, and I just finished reading it. It's unbelievable. We've actually put it on the website. It's so powerful, and our Lord has told this very holy monk, we don't know who he is, but it has a, Cardinal Burke has highly recommended this book. It's beautiful. Mm. It's the kind of book I want to go back and reread again. It's just filled with information. It's like drinking spiritually from a fire hydrant. It's just so much beautiful information. But our Lord has said, what will heal the church and heal his priests is the priests and the laity spending time before him in silence and in praise, before him in Eucharistic adoration and adoration. And that is key, because a priest told me years ago, and I said, well, tell me, why is adoration so important? He said, Maureen, as you spend time before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, the sun, like when you go in before the sun and you're sunbathing, the sun's rays come down upon you and really go through you. He said, same with Jesus. As we spend time with our Lord, his essence will begin to impact us, the graces, and we will get many inspirations, and we will learn of certain things maybe that we need to change in our lives, or certain things we need to add to. But he said that would be what would heal our whole country, and this priest told me this years ago. So I think there's a lot to the power of adoration. And I know in our own diocese where we are, we're in the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia, we have adoration in many of the parishes. So some are, you know, all-night adoration, some are hours of adoration, some is perpetual adoration. But almost anywhere now throughout our diocese, there are many, many parishes that are hosting these holy hours, and it's really impacted and affected our diocese. We now have a lot more vocations. There's a lot more youth programs. There's a lot more marriage and family programs. Wherever you have adoration, the impact, the graces just flow out, not only through the parish, but through the whole community.
And we'll take a short break and be right back.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And I also want to point out that you can find online, again, on the website prayingfastforamerica.org, the history of Eucharistic adoration that's written by Father John Hardin, which is a great resource. So we've talked about the four different parts of the Marian militia battle plan, but there is so much more. You have a great resource for prayer on your website as well. Talk a little bit about that.
So we put up there St. Anthony's motto. It's a very powerful prayer, especially when you feel like there's evil around you. The Holy Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the St. Patrick's Lorica, since St. Patrick's feast day is coming up. It's a very powerful prayer, but we just felt this was important to put up there. St. Michael's Chaplet is a very important in these times because of the, you know, attacks against the priests. We have to pray for our priests, and our priests are under huge attack. They're the generals, and they are the ones that are able to bring us the Holy Eucharist. And if we have no priest, we have no Eucharist. So we have to be there to pray for our priests and pray for a renewal of our priesthood and also a renewal for Our Lady.
We're talking with Maureen Flynn, and we're talking about Pray and Fast for America. They have as their aim a prayer and fast for the conversion of all peoples and nations, to build a culture of life, to defend the sanctity of marriage and family life, for peace, and to implore God's mercy, and then, of course, most importantly, I think, really, is for priests, vocations, and purification and holiness for the members of the church. Well, they're all important, but that simply seems to be the one area that we need to really focus on at this time. Talk a little bit, before you go, Maureen, about the people in the coalition. Maybe people don't understand how broad this coalition is, but who is in your coalition? Some of the names we might recognize.
So if you go on under home, there's a section, or it's under about the coalition. Over the years, we have worked with many of the groups for the International Week of Prayer and Fasting. So really, a lot of the people that are in this coalition are involved with the International Week of Prayer and Fasting. But again, this is an extension because we feel we can't wait. This year, November 2nd through the 10th, is going to be the 27th International Week of Prayer and Fasting. So these people, over the years, we've become, you know, friends with, we've met with over the years. The Legion of Mary has become a real important part of this coalition. They're just a terrific group. They're all over the country. And we have a very strong Legion of Mary in our region. And so the past couple of years, they've really helped greatly, not only with the Pray and Fast for America 2018 and 19, but for the International Week of Prayer and Fasting. And then we've had people like Father Neil Buckline. He's a really powerful priest. He does a lot of writings and has a lot on his website. Then we have people like Kristen Hawkins. She's going to be speaking this year at the International Week of Prayer and Fasting. She's head of the Students for Life of America, which is the largest group of students for life in America. And she's a real powerhouse. So there's many, many good people. Father Chris Alar, he's with the Marian Fathers. He spoke several years ago. He actually came to our diocese, spoke at our own church to all the children, and they were very impacted by him because before he became a priest, he was a businessman, was engaged to be married, so he has quite a beautiful testimony. And he's again coming this year, November 2nd, to talk about the importance of divine mercy in our times. Father Frank Pavone, Priest for Life. So many of these people over the years, there's a whole list of people we work with, we get the word out, but it's really the people in their homes, in their families. There's just a huge group all over the country that inspire me when they call up. They order flyers. We have a lot of flyers here at the office, which we are, you know, we'll give to people who don't know. They don't go on the internet. Not everybody's on the internet. So we produce thousands and thousands of flyers that they can put in their adoration chapels, in their parishes, and it has a plan of prayer and action on the back of the flyer. It gives ideas of all the things they can do for those who can't go on a website.
Perfect. All right, we're speaking with Maureen Flynn, and also let's give out the internet address again where they can find you, and if they don't have the internet, how they can get a hold of you.
Sure. So our website is prayandfastforamerica.org. Again, it's prayandfastforamerica.org. And you can find everything on that website for prayers and all these sign-ups so you can be a part of this campaign. And then for those who aren't on the internet, you can give our office a call. We have an 888 number, so it's 888-478-PRAY, 888-478-PRAY. And we have flyers available at this office, red, white, and blue flyers. One side gives the whole plan for 365 days of masses, prayers, and fasting, the goals for the conversion of peoples and nations to build the culture of life, to defend the sanctity of marriage and family life, for all priests, vocations, and holiness of the members of the church, and for peace and to implore God's mercy. So there's five goals. And then on the other side, plan a prayer and action. It gives ideas of what you can do. So these are available for those who do not go on the internet and they want to call us. If they are on the internet, go to the press room. You'll see the flyer there, and there you can download those.
Oh, perfect. And Maureen, we should point out you don't need to do this alone. You can gather a group of people in your own community or bring it to your school. Perhaps you have a grade schooler or a high schooler. You can talk a little bit more, Maureen, about that.
Yes. Okay. So last year, we felt really strongly we needed to get more involved with the schools. The past couple of years, we've been feeling this way, to get to the children and to the youth. And so some people came together, and they had this beautiful shrine for Lady Guadalupe, and people ordered these little shrines, and there's a friend of mine who is a second grade teacher down in Alexandria, so she got the shrine, and then she talked with her classroom, and she said, let's pray one decade of the rosary every day. They did this last year during the 9 days of prayer and fasting. So the kids did that, and then she gave out rosaries to the kids, and they loved it. Other schools did something similar, so some high schools, they got the shrine, and they prayed the Holy Rosary, you know, in their classroom. Some of the other schools, you know, the older grades, they did some kind of, you know, they came up with some kind of sacrificial plan. They also prayed the Holy Rosary. So the schools have taken this, and it's all the different things that you can do. But there is a beautiful shrine that they can order, Our Lady of Guadalupe, like a shrine that can set up on a desk. It's very simple. And it's not so huge. I mean, it's easy to put into a classroom. Mm-hmm. And we're able to get those for people who would like to do that in their classrooms, because I believe if we get the kids to pray and we can teach them at a young age to have a great devotion toward the Blessed Mother and also to have a love for the Holy Rosary and even teach them at a young age the power of adoration. I think it starts when they're in elementary school. And then as they it's something they will always remember, and even if they fall away for a while, they'll get back to it.
Mm-hmm. Maureen, you also, before we leave, and I didn't want you to forget this, you wanted to talk about the devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus.
Yes. I have been very drawn to the Holy Face devotion for years, but I was rereading it again because we've written about it in the past. And so in this magazine that we're putting together right now for the spring issue, we have a whole Holy Face devotion explaining it. The Lord gave it to a nun in the 1800s, and instead, because there were revolutionary men, and he specifically mentioned communists who were going to try to destroy the church, and he said this devotion to his face will have a huge impact. It's also for the sins against blasphemy, against the profanation of Sundays, and that really hit hard, reading about Sundays, because think of it today. I know when I was a girl growing up, we had the blue laws, so I'm dating myself, but that was way, way back, where Sunday was a day of rest, a day of going to church. You know, really the only stores I remember being open were drugstores. Now, Sundays have become another day, another errand day, another cleaning day, another day of sports and entertainment. And the Lord spoke about this, that his keep the Sabbath holy, the third commandment, and people are violating that today. So he's asking for us to keep that holy, and he's asking for us to have a devotion to his holy face. And there's a lot of information on the, for those who donate $25 or more, then go to under support. You'll see special prayer cards So there's a Holy Face pamphlet, the Novena to the Holy Face booklet, and the Holy Face of Jesus prayer card.
And Maureen, I also do want to point out to our listeners, too, if you go on to the website Pray and Fast for America, and there's websites there, Pray and Fast, pray or Fast. This is Pray and Fast for America. Make sure you get all those words in to find the right site. You have an ongoing novena right now to St. Joseph in honor of his feast day, so you want to check that out. Maureen, before we leave, can you please lead us in prayer?
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we thank you for the way you love us and the way you send your mother all over the world today in a special way. And we ask for special graces for our country, in particular America, for our government, for our leaders, for our families, for our parishes, for our communities. And we ask for great graces to enable us to become how we were with the founding of America under the great President George Washington. And we ask for the renewal of our families, the renewal of our youth and our children, and for protection against the diabolical forces. And we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to come down upon all of us to inspire us to pray more, to inspire us to speak up when we need to inspire us to be holy men and women, and that we will see America again become the great city, the shining light for the world to see, and that we once again become under God.
Amen.
We ask all of this in your adorable name. Amen.
Amen. Maureen, thank you so much for all that you're doing. And again, pray and fast for America. And we'll have to have you back on again before the November date when you're going to be at the Basilica of the National Shrine of Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. Thank you so much, Maureen, for your time.
Yes, thanks. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for listening. Right now, we'll get you caught up with what is going on in and around our greater Philadelphia Catholic community. St. John the Evangelist Parish in Lower Makefield, Pennsylvania, will be hosting an exhibit of icons. These are by iconographer and St. John's parishioner Jack Pachuta, and this will be happening through the month of March. The icons will be displayed on the interior walls of the church and may be viewed on Saturdays from noon to 4 p.m., and again on Sundays in between the celebration of the Masses. Icons, unlike art of our Western culture, are written to lead viewers into the inner room of prayer and bring them closer to the heart of God. The parish will also offer a presentation in the church on Sunday, March 17th from 12:45 p.m. to 2:15 p.m. on this exhibit. Please plan to attend and invite your family and friends. That's St. John the Evangelist Parish, March 17th from 12:45 to 2:15 p.m. Coming up Friday, April 5th, from 9 a.m. to noon is a spiritual multiplication workshop, Making Disciples Who Make Disciples in Your Parish. This is all taking place at St. Thomas of Villanova Auditorium, 1229 East Lancaster Avenue in Bryn Mawr. Come learn what it takes to form disciples who are equipped to form other disciples, igniting a chain reaction of disciple-making in your parish. This workshop, presented by experienced evangelizers from Catholic Christian Outreach, is for all parishes, whether or not you plan to use this program. Again, this is taking place Friday, April 5th from 9 a.m. to noon at St. Thomas of Villanova Auditorium in Bryn Mawr. If you have any questions, go to phillyevange@archphilla.org. Coming up on Tuesdays during Lent, starting March 5th at 7 p.m., is a Ridley area Lenten series called The Seven Last Words of Christ. Six Delaware County parishes will again hold a six-week Lenten series entitled this year, The Seven Last Words of Christ. Each of the six parishes will host one of the Tuesday evening programs, which start each week at 7 p.m. If you want more information, please call 610-543-1046. You also don't want to miss Saturday, March 30th from 6 to 10:45 p.m., a benefit concert for the Little Sisters of the Poor. This is their spring benefit concert featuring Scythian, McLean Avenue Band, and more, all taking place at the Jake Nevin Fieldhouse at Villanova University. Find out more by going to littlesistersofthepoorphiladelphia.org. And save the date, Monday, April 8th at 7 p.m. will be another lecture at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary, this time featuring Father Michael McGee, the chair of systematic theology at the seminary, giving a talk entitled, What If St. Peter and Paul Disagreed? Again, taking place Monday, April 8th at 7 p.m. at the Vianney Hall Auditorium at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. Well, we thank you very much for listening this week to Walking in Faith, and we'll be back again with you next week. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the